This isn't the text, but we're going to look at this text a little bit, Matthew 15. And the woman came and knelt before Jesus. "Lord, help me," she said. Perfect connection, and we'll talk about that a little bit. It's good to see you here, and ask you to pray with me now. Almighty God, speak to our hearts as we hear the Word of God, and give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been reading, many of you have been reading through the book of Matthew with me. We've just read Matthew 15 through 19, those chapters. If you turn to the inside cover of your bulletin, you will see that I have a little introduction there. I mentioned that two important books were on my folks' bookshelves. I think it's called Letters and Papers from Prison by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and you may know about him. And then the other was Markings by Dag Hammarskjöld, and some of you are old enough to know of him. But this had a huge impact on my life, and Hammarskjöld has this prayer for a new heart, a great statesman. I wonder if you would pray it with me. Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who art, give me a pure heart that I may see thee, a humble heart that I may hear thee, a heart of love that I may serve thee, a heart of faith that I may abide in thee. Amen. And then down below, I've summarized the chapters 15 through 19. I'm not going to obviously cover all of those. I'm going to cover the first three and then a couple of others. But you might want to keep those out, and hopefully it'll help you understand maybe a little more what you've read. But Jesus is, in these chapters, actually throughout Matthew, he's been trying to move us beyond the outward expression of the law to the matter of the heart. And Dag Hammarskjöld gets it. He got it in this. It's a matter of the heart. And so Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount earlier, had said, you've heard it said of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I want you to go to the heart of the matter. You've heard it said, but I want you to, and he kept pressing us. And it's not as easy as you think to move from the external to the internal, the matter of the heart. And that's the theme of these five or six chapters here, Matthew 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. And it sort of holds them together, and I want to try to show you that today, and then push you and me to this deeper level that Jesus is trying to get us to live in through the heart. The opening text is a great one for illustrating this. So if we could look at that text. Before I go into this text, this past weekend we had Mark Gunger here who did this wonderful thing on Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, and we laughed and laughed and laughed till we couldn't laugh anymore. Our throats were sore. He did a great thing for us. It was just one of these wonderful things, and had lots of funny stories. He didn't tell this particular funny story, but I want to tell you this particular funny story. That's an old one, so pretend like you haven't heard it before, would you? About this couple who came to see a marriage counselor, 15 years, and they were not doing well. And the man said, I don't understand the problem, I can't understand her. And then she said the same thing, and it was on and on about how frustrated, how difficult, and they were just having a hard time. And after a while of her going on quite a bit, the counselor stopped her, did something that counselors aren't supposed to do. He got up, walked around from in front of his desk, asked her to stand, held her in his arms, and gave her a huge kiss right on the lips. And he set her back, and he said to the husband, now, this is what this woman needs 3 days a week. Can you do this? And the guy thought of it, and he said, well, I can drop her off here on Monday and Wednesday. But I play golf on Friday. Now, the funny thing about that is, why it's funny, is we all know that he didn't get it. And we know that we don't get it many times. That's why it's funny. And that's what Jesus was trying to get his audience, then and now, to move beyond the peripheral, which doesn't get it, to the deeper part. And so, again, let me try this scripture here. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, that was the tradition. You're supposed to do that. He answered them, and why do you break the command? Jesus answered them, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? In other words, they built these rules and laws that don't get it. And there are ways, and they build them up as ways to get around what God really means for their heart to be about. For God said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, whatever support you might have had from me is given to God in this self-righteous way, but then that person need not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. And then he called the crowd to him and said to them, listen and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defies a person. It's not what comes in from the outside. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Then the disciples approached and said to him, do you know you made those folks mad? Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said? And he answered, look, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if one blind person guides another, both will fall in the pit. But Peter said to him, explain this parable to us. And then he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles us. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands, that's no big deal. That does not defile. So do you see what Jesus is trying to get them to do? Move away from this outward stuff to the inward. And then the next chapters are a lot about that. A lot about that. For example, let's bring up, would you stand? On the surface, this is a very troubling passage. Because when you read this, you think, Jesus could not have said that. That is not the Jesus that I think of and know and love. That's not who I understand Jesus to be. But I want to show you how to understand this text as a window of understanding other texts. At least, this is my view about it. Jesus left, and my view is that Jesus is using ironic humor in this text. Mark Gunger, this past weekend with the Laughter Way to a Better Marriage, he opened up truth to us through humor. And I want you to see humor here that Jesus is using. D. Elton Trueblood, a number of years ago, wrote a book called The Humor of Jesus. And he uses this text as one of the cases. And if you don't see the humor, you really miss the point of what Jesus is doing. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon are in southern Lebanon. They're outside of the Holy Land. They're not part of the people of God. They're not the chosen people. At least this is standard Hebraic thinking. And just then, a terrible Canaanite woman, reading between the texts, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But Jesus didn't answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, I mean, this is standard Hebraic thinking. She's not one of us. She's not the chosen people. They forgot they were to be the light unto the nations. He said to him, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. He answered, now listen to this carefully. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, of the house of Israel. She came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, can you believe Jesus said this? It's not fair to take the children's food, that is to say, the food of the people of Israel, the chosen people, and throw it away to dogs like you. This is the text. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. Now, Stan, if you could bring back not the first slide, but the second slide. Now, what do you think of Jesus here? I mean, does this trouble you? If you take this text literally, you've got to do huge mental gymnastics to make it come out all right.
Because if you take it literally, it goes against everything we know about Jesus, in my view. In fact, in Jesus' inaugural sermon, his first sermon back in his hometown in Nazareth, recorded in Luke chapter 4, he uses an illustration. He says, he quotes Isaiah and said, essentially, I'm the Messiah. And everybody applauds and think, wow, isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? And they were thrilled about the young boy who went away and he's doing well. But then he tells them that in the days of Elijah, there were other widows. There were other widows in Israel, Jewish widows, that God could have used. But he had to go outside of Israel to find the widow of Zarephath right in this area. And there were other lepers, but the one he healed was a Syrian. That is to say, the same thing as this text is about. People beyond the pale of Israel are the ones that God used. And it made them so mad they were ready to kill Jesus. So Jesus is about helping all people. That's who he is, pushing beyond. So here, now read this with me in a sense of biting irony and humor. He's voicing in the words of the disciples as if they were saying these things. He did not answer at all, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away from me, from us, for she keeps shouting." He answered to her with a wink in his eye, I suspect, saying, "These guys think I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's their problem. Go on to the next, would you?" And she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, you know, it's standard operating procedure in the old way of thinking that people are hung up in. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And she winked back and said, "Yeah, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And he moved on and said, "Man, your faith, or woman, your faith is great." And he healed her. Do you see, if you don't see the humor, you make Jesus out to be something I think he's not. But the humor is here. And this is an illustration of what he just said about washing hands. He's saying to his disciples and the people in his audience, move beyond the external. In this case, move beyond the different ethnic makeup of this person. She's from Tyre and Sidon. She's a Palestinian. She's a Canaanite. Oh, my word, if there's a word of God that needs to be heard today in the Middle East or any part of the country, world, is this word of Jesus. Move beyond one's ethnicity, one's religion, one's creed, one's political views to the heart of who they are. That's what he was saying here. And that's a powerful... How about you? Are you able to look beyond one's ethnicity, one's different political views, to the heart of who they are? And then Jesus goes, and soon after this, after he's been teaching, there are 4,000 people there who haven't eaten in 3 days. And he says to his disciples, "Let's feed them." And the disciples look around and say, "Oh my word, we don't have anything to feed them with." He said, "What do you got?" He says, a few loaves and several fish. But what can we do with that? And he did the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I consider myself a person of faith. I mean, I'm a positive. Let's go do it. Let's build buildings. Let's move ahead. But I have to tell you, when I read this and I meditated on this, I found I'm a weakling. I'm not there. And I suspect some of you are the same place. I went back for this sermon and read more carefully. Verse 32. Verse 32 is, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people gathered here. I have compassion for them. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for they may collapse on the way." And what the disciples failed to do, they saw the outward experiences, but they didn't see the heart of Jesus. They didn't really hear him say, "I have compassion on these people," and that's the X factor here. "And I don't want to send them away lest they fall away and collapse on the way home." Time and time again, I find myself doing that. Even though when I first read this text, I thought, I'm like Jesus, and I'll try to get my congregation to have more faith. Let me give you two illustrations. As I said, this past weekend, we had Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage here. I didn't want to do it. We had, Jan and I had borrowed the tapes, the DVDs from her family, and I called the headquarters to see if it'd be all right if I'd show it to a group of people here on Wednesday night. They gave me permission, and so we showed it in October, and 120 people came, and I thought, well, that's great. We're done with that. 50 of those people said, let's bring him here personally. I said, okay, I'll check it out. $14,000 is what you have to pay to bring him here. You have to guarantee 400 people here. And I thought, well, we just did it for free. Why do we need to bring him down here? They said, Dan, it's good. Trust us. It's a good idea. You know, 3 weeks before that, we had about 50 people signed up. And I am dying. And I say to the volunteers, you're not responsible for the $14,000. I am. And then you think, $14,000? We have a debt of $3.5 million. What's $14,000? Do you see what I'm trying to say? And then, you know, a few days before, we had 300 or 400. We ended up 650 or 700 people. It was huge. It's about like today. And I had forgotten what Jesus said. I have compassion on these people in Gainesville. I don't want them to get out there and collapse on their way home and their marriages falling apart. Their relationships destroyed. I forgot to factor that in. And you do the same thing. When you look at your outward circumstances, the mountain you're facing, the whatever the 4,000 thing is, you sometimes forget to factor in that Jesus said, I have compassion on these people. I'm a factor that you're not counting on. It was such a beautiful thing. What's $14,000 compared to one or two or three or 10 or 20 marriages that are maybe saved? Wow. And then right after that, catch this in Matthew. He's so wonderful the way he does it. The leaders of the people come to Jesus and say, we need you to show us a sign that you're from heaven. He just fed 4,000 people. We need you to show a sign. What is that about? And so I laughed about that. But again, a true confession. Several months ago, maybe a year or two ago, you remember we showed this video, YouTube thing of Team Hoyt? It's the father of the son who pushes, the son has some disabilities, he's pushing for marathons. It is about 60 marathons. Incredibly inspiring. And one of you said, Dan, I think you ought to try to bring him here. I said, okay. So I called or found out, $14,000. I don't know what it is about $14,000. I'm going to get a stick and go on the road for $14,000. So I said, gee, you know, it's one thing to get people to pay $69 a couple to come in here and get better, have a better marriage. What about this? So I'm getting nervous. And they said, you got to send in the deposit. You know, I hadn't read this text yet. I hadn't preached on this text yet. And so here we had 650, 700 people here. But even yesterday, the guy who suggested this, I went to him and said, you know, I'm not sure we can get her. He said, look, Dan, I'll cover whatever you don't get. So I felt better about that. A lot better about that. But then I said to him, you know, I just don't know. I went looking for him yesterday because they were here, and I saw his wife, and she said he's not here right now. I said, you know, I'm really worried about this. Well, during the break, I'm standing over in this section. He comes over to me and said, Dan, don't worry about it. I told you I'll cover what did happen. I said, yeah, but I don't know if we can. He said, Dan, don't worry about it. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not alone here, folks. I bet some of you are facing a similar huge deal. And yet you're not hearing Jesus say, I have compassion on these folks. What if one CEO comes and hears this leader? What if several business managers? What if several people who are dealing with a big thing and they come hear this deal? It's $14,000? Nothing. Especially if you got somebody who'll cover it. me of little faith. Well, we can laugh about it. And the other thing is, I think what we realize is Trinity ought to be doing these sorts of things. We're going to do more and more of them. But let me ask you, what's your 4,000 project right now? You have to, what are you working on? Is it a health concern? Is it something at work? Is it a relationship? That's outwardly, it's huge. and you're just like me, and you think, golly, I can't do it. And you hear in the background the scripture, Jesus saying, but I have compassion. And I'm more concerned about that than you are. And he's right there with you. That gets to the heart of the matter. Then two more. Jesus gathers his disciples around and says, who do people say that I am? And Josh preached a great, Josh Pusey's here. He preached a great sermon on this last week in the chapel. And Peter says, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people say you're Jeremiah. That is to say, those people out there say certain things. And Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And that's the question today, isn't it? At the heart of who you are, at the soul of your being, who do you say he is? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the turning point in the scriptures. And then finally, in Matthew 18, I believe it is, there's this something about forgiveness. And Peter says, Peter's getting it. Peter's moving ahead of the rest of the crowd. I'm almost caught up with Peter. He's moving along. And he's really proud of himself. He says, Jesus, I think I got it. He says, now if somebody offends me, if I forgive them seven times, is that good? Now the reason Peter thought that was really good is because in standard operating procedure in the New Testament times when Peter lived, the rabbinic teaching said, if a man offends you, forgive him once, forgive him. If he offends you twice, forgive him. If he forgives you three times, forgive him. If he forgives you four times, don't forgive him. You only have to do it three times. So Peter comes to Jesus, sticks out his chest, says, Jesus, if I forgive somebody seven times, is that all right? And you know what Jesus said? No, you got to do it 70 times seven. And the deal is not the number, but Jesus wants him to say, it's not about how many times you do it. It's to get to the heart. And the heart of the deal is every relationship needs healing and reconciliation. At the end of our weekend marriage enrichment, Mark had all the couples stand. There are many people who weren't couples there. They had all the couples stand, turn to each other and hold hands and look each other in the eye and repeat after him. And essentially to say, sweetheart, I'm sorry for what I did. And there were tears streaming down lots of people's cheeks. It was a defining moment. And he said, there are people in here that's the first time they've ever voiced those words or ever heard those words from their spouse. And he clarified about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act, not a feeling. It's an act, it's a decision. It's not a feeling. Feelings, you can't get rid of the feelings that have come, that sort of the negative feelings. And forgiveness is separate from forgetting. You won't forget what's happened. You'd be stupid to forget. Jan and I think, have forgiven the young woman who ran into Siobhan. It was an accident. Accidents happen. I think we've forgiven her. Will we forget? We'll never forget. And I wonder if there's somebody you need to forgive. Just say, I'm sorry. Would you go back over this with me? You see, it's not easy to move from the external to the heart. I realized that as I worked on this sermon. Do you concern about the outside and not take care of the inner heart? That's the first. How about people's ethnicity or people's differentness from you? Because we want people to be kind of like us. Can you see below that? What's your feeding of the 4,000 project that's in front of you? Are you overwhelmed by that? Or are you letting help come from God? Forgiveness. Would you pray with me? Almighty and loving God, we thank you for these words of Scripture, these words of Jesus, for pushing us. Because you've forgiven us. May we forgive others. Touch our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.